Today I'd just like to focus on one verse of the scriptures, and that is, it says the 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The anointing of the sick is one of the seven sacraments that we're blessed to have in the church, but is probably the least understood of all the sacraments. You remember what a sacrament is? It's a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. And he gave the church seven of these sacraments. We're familiar with them. Holy baptism, the Eucharist, confession, confirmation, holy matrimony, holy orders, and the anointing of the sick. And this is such an important sacrament, and hopefully all of us will one day receive this sacrament of the anointing of the sick to strengthen us, to give us spiritual help when we're sick or before our death. Perhaps, though, even if you won't receive this sacrament for many years, maybe your grandparents or maybe your parents are sick and suffering, and when they're close to their death, you might be the one that has to call the priest or the pastor in this state or in a different state to go visit your sick relative, parent or grandparent, to make sure that they've received this wonderful sacrament of God's love, God's strength, and God's healing. Now in today's gospel it says that the disciples went out and they anointed the sick with oil and they cured them. So here it is in scripture, one of the scriptural bases for why we have the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. The other place in scripture that is very specific is the letter of James chapter 5. Again, very important letter, tells us a lot about the anointing of the sick. James says, "Are there any sick people among you? Let them send for the priests of the church. Let the priests pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will raise them up. If they have committed any sins, their sins will be forgiven them." Again, a powerful passage from St. James showing the importance of calling the priest when a person is sick, to have the priest pray over them, anointing them, not only for the possible healing of their body, but more importantly, the healing of their soul. Now, in the past, this sacrament had a different name. It's the same sacrament, but it was called extreme unction. Who remembers it being called extreme unction? Some of you, okay. Now, the extreme unction meant the final anointing. And unfortunately, it was seen that, right before you died, that's when you got anointed. And that it was only done in the danger of death circumstances or situations. And because of that, many people feared. They didn't want to be anointed because they thought if they got anointed, they're a goner, right? And if a priest would walk into the hospital room and want to anoint somebody, and they would think it would be like the angel of death has just walked into the room. It's not like that. The anointing is for healing, healing of the soul, healing of the mind, and sometimes even healing of the body. And so the church decided to change the name and give a little different focus from extreme unction to the anointing of the sick. So it's not just done in case of danger of death, but in any serious illness, a person could be anointed, or in advanced age, or before going into a serious surgery. Now, only a priest or a bishop can do the anointing of the sick. It's not something that a deacon can do or a layperson can do. Only a priest or bishop can do the anointing of the sick because it actually forgives sins. And that's the special role of the priesthood. Now, when a person is anointed, they're anointed with blessed oil. This oil is blessed by the bishop on Holy Thursday. There are three different oils that are used in the church. One is the oil of chrism. The other is the oil for the sick, which is what's used in the anointing of the sick. And the third is the oil of catechumen. The oil of catechumen is used when somebody's about to get baptized, when we baptize a baby. I baptized 10 babies yesterday at the monastery, 9 boys and 1 girl. Can you imagine that? So when we anoint the oil of catechumen, It's done right here at the lower part of the neck, the upper part of the chest. And that represents they're just about to become a Christian. Then there's the oil of chrism, which is used in three sacraments. The sacrament of baptism, we use it. We anoint the child's the top of the head in baptism. Chrism is also used in confirmation. All of us that got confirmed were anointed with chrism. And then the ordination of priests. When priests are ordained, the bishop consecrates their hands and anoints the palms of their hands with the oil of chrism. But in the anointing of the sick, the oil that is used is called the oil for the infirm or the oil for the sick. And when a person is anointed, the priest comes to that person, maybe in the hospital or nursing home or in their home, and first of all, he prays over them and he invokes the Holy Spirit for healing. And then he anoints the person on the forehead and then on the palms of the hands, unless they're a priest. If they're a priest, he anoints the back of their hands because the palms of the hands were already anointed in ordination. It's sort of a good Catholic trivia question, if you ever get that on Catholic trivia. The priest has the back of his hands anointed since his palms are already anointed by the bishop in ordination. And then the priest, when he visits a sick person after he prays over them, he anoints them in the forehead and he says, through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And then he anoints the palms of the hands and says, may the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up. Now this anointing is, again, very powerful. And some people say, well, Father, who can be anointed? The church says that any baptized person above the age of reason who has either a serious illness or advanced age or before going into surgery. Those are the three opportunities that we would have to be anointed. Now, what is the age of reason? The person develops an age of reason when they can begin to tell right from wrong. The church says this is about the age where we give first communion and first confession, about the age of 7 or 8. Now, I know some of you parents are thinking, well, my kid is 21 and he hasn't reached the age of reason yet. But that's a whole other story. Normally, though, the age of reason is the age of 7. Now, it's best to anoint a person when they're fully conscious and alert. That's because they can then go to confession, they can receive communion, which is the viaticum, the food for their journey to eternal life. So it helps to give the person last rites, communion, confession, and the anointing of the sick. Now, if a person is unconscious, if they slipped into a coma, for example, the priest can still anoint the person. And especially if that person would have asked for the anointing, or if they've lived, you know, a Catholic life and you would just expect that they would certainly want the anointing, then they can be anointed. And that anointing can and does forgive their sins, provided that they had a sorrow for their sins before they slipped into unconsciousness. As long as a person had a good heart and was sorry for their sins, then that anointing, even if they're in a coma, would be absolution, washing away of their sins. Now, the question sometimes comes up, well, what about after a person has died? Can they be anointed? Well, the answer is no, they have to be anointed while they're still living. There's a priest friend of mine, he was stationed in an area with very few Catholics, and he got a call from the hospital that day, and the nurse said, Father, your parishioner just passed away. Can you come over and now anoint the person? And so the priest did go down, and he did give a blessing, bless the body, comforted the family. But then he gathered all of the nurses and doctors together in the wing of the hospital and explained that it's a sacrament that needs to be received while the person is still living, while they're still alive. Now, if the priest gets there and the person has just died, he can certainly give the anointing, because we never know the moment when the soul leaves the body. We just don't know that exact moment, so the priest can certainly give conditional anointing at that time. The other question comes up, can a person be anointed more than once? And the answer is yes. If a person goes into a different kind of a serious illness, or if the person begins to get worse, then they can be anointed even with the same illness if they are degressing and getting worse in that illness. Now, the effects of the anointing is that it gives graces to your soul. It forgives your sins, provided that the person does not place an obstacle to that forgiveness. It can give spiritual healing and gives the soul strength. It gives the person patience to endure their sufferings during their time of pain. It gives them confidence in God's mercy. It increases the virtue of hope within them. And it can give them resistance to temptation towards their end of their life. And it can even give, sometimes, even physical healing. I've seen this happen when somebody is near death, for example, and gets anointed. Sometimes they are cured, they're healed when they receive the anointing. And God sometimes does that if it's for the good of the person's soul. It doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes you anoint a person and they don't recover physically, but sometimes they do. And sometimes they do because God, for the good of their soul, they sometimes have their health restored. So it's such an important sacrament. And actually, it also wipes away all temporal punishment due to sin when a person is anointed. It's like gaining a plenary indulgence at the moment of your death if you're anointed with under the in the sacrament. Now, the temporal punishment is something that's not really understood, but the basic teaching is that every time we sin, that sin disfigures, mars, and damages the beauty of our soul. Just if you took like a nail and drove it into a piece of wood. Well, when you confess those sins and are forgiven, that sin is removed, but you still have a damaged, your soul is still wounded or damaged. The penance that the priest gives you in confession helps to heal that wound in that relationship with God. Gaining indulgences also does the same. The anointing actually fills up all those wounds and heals those wounds in a person's soul. That's a great blessing to be able to have that received at the hour of one's death. So I would encourage you, if you're going into surgery, give me a call or some other priest that you know. If you're advanced in age and feel that you do want to receive this anointing, by all means, let me know and I'll be happy to do that. But if your parents or grandparents are in a situation where they're maybe away from the church or suffering or sick, by all means call a priest, the pastor in their area, to make sure that they too are anointed. And the last recommendation I would do is there's a really neat holy card you can get to carry in your wallet, in your purse or in your wallet. You can also get it on a medal. Maybe have a medal of Mary or Saint Christopher. And on the back it says, I am a Catholic. In case of emergency, please call a priest. And many times in the case of a car accident or an emergency room at the hospital, the nurses or doctors see that and then they call the priest. And that's really the only way that that person maybe at that time is able to say that they would like a priest to come. So it says, I'm a Catholic, in case of emergency, please call a priest. I've been looking around for one that says, I am a priest, in case of emergency, please call a bishop. But I haven't been able to find that yet at the Catholic stores.